fellas, what's cracking?
The team presents The Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome in, 9 o'clock. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Get to part of the ugly, which actually was more last Thursday with the news about Scott Oberg. I mean, for the Rockies, you dodge a bullet with Kyle Freeland with it being just a shoulder sprain. And then Scott Oberg, you think, okay, he's on the path to coming back and maybe being this team's closer. And you got Bard, and you got him, you know, Bard to set up, Oberg to close potentially. And now it looks like Scott Oberg's career is probably over after another huge setback.
Yeah.
With the blood clots in his elbow. So we'll talk a little Rockies baseball in just a moment. So the good, the bad, the ugly, what makes your list today? I'd love to hear from you. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Let's see. Let's go with Robert. He had the text earlier about Lamar Jackson. Jackson is a running quarterback. How long can a body take the punishment? When did a primarily running quarterback win the Super Bowl? Like never. Locke can throw every pass. Jackson cannot. In bias, but Denver will have a better record than Baltimore this season. Cleveland will help us out on that account. Okay.
Yeah, one, I'm not sure on that, but two, when has a 4-9 perennial quarterback ever won the Super Bowl?
Because let's look at the numbers here. Okay, let's go. I'm just going to roll out a set of numbers, and you tell me which guy's which.
Okay.
One guy's played 1 year longer than the other.
Okay.
This quarterback, just this last season, we'll go the last two. Let's go the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
2019, 3,127 yards.
That'd be Lamar Jackson, Jim. Sorry.
Thanks for screwing my bit up already. Thanks. There's a punchline. There's going to be a punchline at the end of this.
Take two. And
no, it's over. No. No. The horse is out of the barn. Okay? Wilbur.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't know there was a whole bit.
There was going to be like a little, I was going to compare to say, okay, you tell me which guy's which.
Okay.
And you jump the gun. Way to go.
Is
the brain now firing at a very high efficient level because you're eating fruit? Is that why?
It is. This apple is delicious.
It's all of a sudden now you're just all over it.
Or maybe a little soft. I have to cut the apple.
2019. Okay, 2019. Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. 3,127 yards, 36 touchdowns. He threw for 6 picks.
That's a decent ratio, right?
QBR 83. That's really good.
Didn't that lead the league?
I believe that led the league. 2020.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, they went 13-2. They were a playoff team. 2020, they went 11-4. Playoff team again.
Yep.
Numbers not quite as good. 2,757 yards. Still a pretty solid 26-9 in terms of touchdown interception ratio. QBR took a little bit of a hit, 73.7. Okay, so those are, and he's been the MVP already.
Mm-hmm.
His team has been in the playoffs twice.
All pro.
Drew Lock, 2019. Played in 5 games. He had 1,020 yards. Keep in mind, you know, far fewer games played. 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Both supplanted Joe Flacco, too, by the way.
Yeah, QBR 50.2. 2020, played in 13 games. Started all 13 that he played in. 2,933 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. QBR 48.8. Has not been an all-pro, has not been a pro bowler, has not taken his team to the playoffs.
He didn't even get the Philip Lindsay Pro Bowl. Hey, neat little story, and he's got some cool hair. Let's send him to Hawaii. He didn't even get that.
I'm just saying that, look, you can, and to say that Lamar Jackson is primarily a running quarterback, that he doesn't throw the ball. Like, he throws the ball five times a game.
Right.
Like, he was Brandon Hickey at Palisade back in 94, and they won a state title. And if they put the ball in the air five times, it was like throwing it 50 times in a game, because mm-hmm. they just ran the hell out of it. He's not that guy.
He's rushed for more yards than Philip Lindsay in their careers.
Yeah.
And you know what? He may be a running quarterback. He's ran for almost 3,000 yards. Who wouldn't want that over Drew Locke?
He's a guy that is a dynamic player at his position. And, okay, maybe he doesn't throw the out pattern as well as Drew Locke, but apparently throws enough other passes pretty well to go out and throw for the tune of 3,000 yards in one season and have a 36-touchdown, 6-interception season.
Ask Drew Locke Sr. who he'd rather have, and he would have to think about it. Probably picking Lamar Jackson.
He'd probably go, look, I love my boy. I love Drew, but gotta go, that Jackson cat's pretty good. Is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback in the league? No, I don't think he is.
No.
I think Rodgers is
best
better.
Best quarterback in his division, though.
I think Mahomes is better, but he's a top 10, if not a top 5 guy. It's what you have to evaluate guys, Robert, on what they've done. And Drew Locke has done nothing so far.
Throws a good out ball, okay, but does it win games? No. 8-10.
And you can't make it sound like all Lamar Jackson does is run the ball 20 times a game and throws it like 3 times a game. He doesn't do that. You don't get to 3,000 passing yards by throwing it 5 times a game.
You don't know what Lamar Jackson does do, though? Really well?
Wins?
30-7.
He wins. He's a league MVP.
Yeah.
Playoffs twice. I'm just saying, let's not compare these two guys, because these guys are not on the same plane right now. And we're close. Drew Locke is not in the parking lot of the stadium that Lamar Jackson plays in.
No, he's not.
He's on a side street, 5 blocks away from getting to the parking lot of that stadium. He's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and, I mean, just in case we're all not clear on what the whole point is, we check in with current Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
You don't play to just play it.
That's the whole point, is winning.
Okay, Big Rob.
Skippy Lightyear is sometimes fun to watch, but he doesn't win.
How many times do we have to go through this? Locke has played 16 games. We Denver fans always do this. Didn't win the Super Bowl, trade the quarterback. Josh Allen was horrid in his first 2 years. We need to see what one more year brings. Maybe so, but the Big Rob, what if Drew Locke isn't what he's been in the last 4 games of his first 2 seasons? He plays really well the last 4 games. But there's been a lack of consistency. His best game last year was against Carolina. Mm-hmm. Their defense was terrible.
If you're 3-9 heading into the last 4 games, it doesn't matter how well he plays.
There comes a point where, in the league now, if you aren't kind of getting it figured out and within 2 years, you're in trouble.
Josh Rosen.
You're in trouble. Even Mitchell Trubisky, who had taken his team to the playoffs 2 times.
Twice.
Got shown the door.
Yeah.
I just...
For Andy Dalton.
Big Rob, I understand what you're trying to say. But, okay, let's say he's the starter, because it looks like he's going to be that guy in 2021. Mm-hmm. It's certainly looking like that. What if he goes out and this team's another 6-win team? And he's hurt again, and he misses 5 games.
And the 22 quarterback class is not very good right now.
And the numbers are just... okay, maybe they're a little better. At some point, you got to go, we've got to move on here.
I just get a feeling this is who he is.
And that's a feeling I get, too.
And you can't be left behind in the quarterback race.
And that's where the least they can do is, later rounds, you draft a guy like Kellen Mond. A guy that you think can develop into a starting quarterback if Drew Locke is not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I want Drew Locke to be that guy. I would love it if he was that guy. I don't, from what I've watched the first couple of years of his career, I don't feel good about that, though. I don't feel good about what I've seen. And at some point, you got to stop making excuses of, well, Didn't have a full year with Pat Shurmur. Well, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow didn't either with their OCs. And look what those two guys did. I'm just saying at some point, you have to acknowledge, and maybe it's, and like you said, 2022's quarterback class?
Not great. I'm not even sure who's out there. Is it going to be another one-year wonder guy from like an Alabama or an Ohio State?
Well, let's even look at guys who are going to be free agents next year. Okay, just...
Oh, that list is... Ugh.
Just look at that list of guys who are going to be free agents in 2022. Okay, let's see. Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I think this is not exactly entirely accurate.
So I got a list right here. It has Roethlisberger, yeah. Taysom Hill.
Okay.
Fitzmagic.
Andy Dalton's because it's a one-year deal.
Andy Dalton. Baker Mayfield.
Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor.
Baker because they haven't exercised the option yet. Sam Darnold, same deal. Josh Allen, same deal. But you expect two of those guys to remain. Jameis Winston. Cam Newton. Jacoby Brissett. The aforementioned Josh Rosen. Joe Flacco. Might try him. Marcus Mariota.
No. We've been there. Thank you.
Jeff Driscoll. He'll be out there floating around. So Mitchell Trubisky. Tim Boyle. Oh, hey, Lamar Jackson.
There we go.
If they don't exercise his option, could be a free agent.
I think there's probably a good chance. And here's your guys that'll be your top quarterbacks in 2022. Sam Howell at North Carolina. Not a bad player. This past season, 3,586 yards, 30 touchdowns, 7 picks. Keaton Slovis, who I really like at USC. This past season, played only 6 games and he got hurt. 17 touchdowns, 7 picks, just under 2,000 yards passing.
But nobody since Carson Palmer has been any good out of USC.
Bo Nix at Auburn. You know, to me, doesn't exactly... Not blowing my shorts up. Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Good, great numbers this year. 3,031 yards, 28 touchdowns, 7 picks.
Baker and Kyler have been competent. We haven't really seen enough from Jalen Hurts to know the Lincoln Riley system translating to the NFL. You know.
Rattler with the highest grade among all the Big 12 quarterbacks. Okay. Tanner Morgan at Minnesota. Brock Purdy at Iowa State. Brock Purdy is that classic pretty good little player, but I don't know if he's a starting
Tate
NFL
Martell
quarterback.
Due to be drafted at some point.
Yeah, someday. You know, you got Emory Jones at Florida, Sean Clifford at Penn State. You know, these are some of the guys that are out there. Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati, who's kind of Kellen Mondish, tall athletic quarterback, throws it okay. Obviously a program that's been successful, a winner for Luke Fickell. I mean,
Mason Rudolph will be a free agent after next year.
I'm good.
You want somebody to get elkabonged with their own headpiece.
But any of those names, whether it's Slovis or Nix or any of those guys, or Spencer Rattler, do any of them make you go, wow, we can hold out till 2022?
There's no tank for quote guy on that list. There's none of them.
There's not a be wretched for Rattler.
No.
I mean, there's just not. Not that any of those guys couldn't come into the league and be really good quarterbacks and have success. But none of them are going to get the same run as Trevor Lawrence or the hype that's out there now for Zach Wilson.
This is the draft class. Probably for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. And so you have to evaluate with a very critical lens on whether or not Drew Locke is your guy.
And it's got to be this year. You have to have a plan going into this year, and your plan can't be, let's give another year to Drew Locke. I don't think that's going to work.
Or if you're going to keep Locke, fine, but you better have a backup plan.
Yeah.
You better have a guy in this draft, like a Kellen Mond, that comes in and can at least puts that it's Drew's job unless he loses it.
And I'm not saying you got to mortgage the future to go up and get Lawrence or Fields or Wilson or whoever. But you, if it is Mond, or you know what, maybe you drop back a little bit because Mac Jones is still there. You gotta, you have to find somebody.
You have to address the position with somebody that can come in and be a legitimate competitor to the job. Brett Rypien is not that guy.
As much as I love him, he's not.
Sure, he's not. Kellen Mond is. He's a guy that can come in and compete for that job. Or it's Mond and it's a veteran guy like an Alex Smith. I just think you can't be status quo. You can't go, well, we're good. Got Drew Lock, Brett Rypien, we're good. No, you cannot do that. You cannot afford to do that. Because what if Lock plays every game this year, but you don't see the progress?
Right.
Then what are you going to do? Well, we got to give him one more year. Okay, well, that'll be year four. And I don't think George Payton is that patient of a guy.
And it can continue on. You can, this team didn't really turn it around, so we're going to fire Vic Fangio. We bring in a new head coach, and here's Drew Lock. Well, you guys didn't really mesh well in your first year, so let's give one more year. And then all of a sudden, you're 5 years into the Drew Lock experience.
And you're still a 5-6-1 football team.
Yeah. Welcome to the Cleveland Browns.
And you went out and spent all this money on the defense to make your defense better.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets back to what we saw the couple of years after the Super Bowl 50 win. A defense that was still good enough to get them into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs.
You didn't have the competent quarterback
play. But you didn't have quarterback play that allowed you the opportunity to get to the postseason.
You don't need Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady level play. You need a Josh Allen type. Who that defense was really good, and he utilized his weapons well. You need that type of guy. You need Ryan Tannehill. That's who you need.
And I get it that you're hoping, Big Rob, that it's going to be a Josh Allen-like year for Drew Lock, and I hope it is. I do hope it is, but I don't feel good about that happening. And if it does, it's great, but you better hedge your bets. You better have a plan B. For 2022, if it doesn't work out. Let's talk some Rockies very quickly before we take a break. We'll have Chris Hanks coming up in a moment. That, of course, we'll have the opener on Thursday.
Yep.
Coors Field. Rockies and the Dodgers.
I got to get that one.
1:30 pregame right here on the team with Jack Corrigan and Mike Rice. We'll get Mike on sometime this week. Talk a little Rockies baseball. But Ermon Marquez will get the start. He's the opening day guy this Thursday. Marquez started the season opener last year when they played at Texas against the Rangers, gave up the one run over 5 2/3 and that 1-0 loss to the Rangers. So
he's got Kershaw, right? Is that what I heard this morning?
It's going to be Ermon Marquez against Clayton Kershaw.
Well, it's nice to know they're starting with their fourth starter in LA on Thursday. Just they're trying to help out the Rockies a little bit.
Going to their fourth best pitcher. But for Ermon, who's been really good on the road, that's kind of been the history of Ermon Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Home has, well, not been a warm, snuggly, comfortable place for Ermon Marquez. He has a career ERA over 5 at home. On the road, it's 3.51. So we'll see how he does in his first start of the season at Coors Field against that guy that used to be the best pitcher in L.A. and is not anymore.
No, he's not even the best pitcher on his team. That's unfortunate, but life comes at you fast.
Bueller, Bauer, Bauer, exactly. Bueller.
And for Ermon, it's 5.1 at home over the course of his career. And I've said this, and I'll say this. The offense is going to be a little bit harder to come by for the Rockies this year than in years past, but if you're a starter, just get me a home ERA under 5. That's it. That's all I want.
Yep, that's
all
I need.
Don't come out there with 5s and 6s, John Gray, 7s. No, just give me an ERA under 5 and offense do some
work. I'll take a 4.8. I'll take a 4.9.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll take anything that's
4.98,
under 5.
4.98. Just under, but it works.
Just under. That's all I need. Just keep us in the game. Give the Rockies a chance to score some runs. Don't let it get away from you.
Right.
Which has been, what, the standard operating procedure that we've wanted for the Rockies forever, just keep it close.
Yep.
Just
it's
keep
been
it close.
SOP for years, but just Keep it under five. If you can do that, the Rockies could be decent. I can't say they'll be really good because I don't think they will be, but they'll be competitive if you can keep your starting ERA under five.
All right, get a good, the bad, the ugly from Jolene this morning over at CDOT. Good morning, Jolene. Those earned jerseys for the Nuggets, magnifique, by the way. The jerseys that they, the earned jerseys they wore yesterday.
I'm warming up to them, but when they first came out, I was very lukewarm on them.
So good from her on that. Bad, Joker's non-triple double against the Hawks. Came close, what, 8 assists, I think?
Mm-hmm.
So double-double.
The other guy's not knocking down shots. That's not his fault.
An ugly mock draft showing Pitts the tight end at number 9 for the Broncos. I'm thinking of the right guy, right?
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Kyle
right?
Pitts, the tight end. Why?
Why?
You got Okubagwem. You've got Noah Fant. What? Why would they draft another tight end? Okay.
You're looking at me. I have no idea. I'm with you.
I don't get that. I mean, you invested a first round pick in Noah Fant a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
And
have,
you figure Albert O. I was not going to try it. Albert O.
Okubagwem?
Sure. Close enough for me, I guess.
Okay.
But once he comes back from his injury, you're going to have a nice little dual threat there.
I don't know why you need another one. That's a wasted pick. That's a waste. All right, 9:21. We will take a break. We'll come back. And coming up next, we'll talk a little Colorado Mesa baseball with skipper Chris Hanks. Mavs coming off a weekend sweep of Regis and Adams State. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Duke Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. You okay over there?
Well, this one had a little quiet intro, yeah. So I turned up my headphones and you came in there and I was jarred a little bit.
Don't we have the cool intro for Hanks? Don't we have a cool intro for him?
I thought we did. We might. This is my bad.
It's okay. I think I did turn that into our production guy to do that, so. But since we don't have it right now, or you have not found it, or whatever the case may be, we bring on the head coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, number 2 team in the nation, Chris Hanks. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Getting the day going.
Getting ready to take on Adams tomorrow after you just saw Adams State this past weekend. Good weekend for your ball club, Regis. We talked about them last week. They came in with a really good offensive lineup, and obviously, you guys took care of them that delayed game one on Friday night. But wins against Regis, wins against Adams State, and the beat just keeps on with another weekend sweep for your ball club.
Yeah, you know, Regis has a real good club, and they are about what I expected with their pitching and whatnot. I think we had opportunities in both games to really bust it open early and maybe put the games out of reach, but we were unable to cash in on some early base runners. But nonetheless, we held on, we won, and I'm happy with our guys' performance.
Mavericks winning both games yesterday, taking care of Adams State 25-1, and then the win against Regis to wrap things up 6-3. Let's go to that Adams State game from yesterday, Chris, where obviously you guys have another big offensive game. But Cannon Handy did a really nice job on the mound for you. Just gave up one run on 4 hits. He walked 4, struck out 11 in 7 innings of work. That matched a season high with 11 strikeouts for him to get his second win of the season. Cannon Handy with a really good performance against the Grizzlies in game one yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Cannon's a young pitcher, young and upcoming. He's got a good arm. I think he'll continue to get better, but he certainly did have a real strong outing.
And then you go to game two yesterday, the 6-3 win, that Conrad Villafuerte hitting a home run. Hayden McGeary hit a bomb as well. Ryan Day, another really good performance for him, 6-3 win of the Rangers. So good offense, and obviously a solid start from Ryan Day helps you guys get that win against the Rangers to wrap up the weekend.
Well, yeah, and I think the big story is, you know, Ryan Day's complete game performance, and I think he had 13 strikeouts. He just always gives us a chance to win when he pitches. And then Hayden McGeary had the big home run late to, you know, I wouldn't say put the game out of reach, but give us some breathing room for sure when I think he left five runners in scoring position, you know, in the first five innings, you know, when maybe we could have a base hit would have opened things up, but he came through late in the game.
Chris Hanks, coach of the number two team in the nation, Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, joining us on the Jim Davis Show on the team. And yeah, getting back to Ryan, who's now 4-0 in the season, you mentioned that he allowed just the three runs on eight hits. He walked one, struck out 13, which is a career high for him. And you know, now with an ERA of 3.38 and a 4-0 record, what's the difference you've seen, and maybe Jeff Rogers has seen, Chris, from last year for a guy like Ryan Day? Certainly last year got cut short because of COVID, but where do you feel like he's really improved this year to become the pitcher that he currently is right now? He's having an outstanding season.
Well, I'd say the biggest thing is just his command. You know, he stays on the edges of the plate, which makes it very difficult for teams to really square him up and really get stuff going. He minimizes his mistakes. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And then he changes speeds. You know, he'll pitch anywhere from 84 to 88 miles an hour with a real good curveball and a changeup. And, you know, he just keeps people off balance.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us. Mavericks now with a 16-2 record on the season. So tomorrow you go to Adams State. It was postponed from earlier in March. So you get the doubleheader down at Alamosa tomorrow. And this is a team, Chris, that in the two games that you played them you know, this past weekend, you won essentially 50-3. How do you keep your guys focused? Because you've had, obviously, before when you played Adams State, big offensive games against them. How do you keep your guys focused after having what's been really, so far against the Grizzlies, pretty easy wins so far this season?
Well, you know, it can be challenging, especially with 18 to 22-year-old guys. And the thing that they need to understand, and we've made them understand, is, you know, we still haven't, in the four games we've played them, seen their ace. And their ace is a kid that has their two wins. I think we'll see him Tuesday in a seven-inning game. I think they're lined up to throw their number one and their number two kids against us. Now, we beat their number two kid up there, but we did struggle with him for a few innings. So, you know, it's baseball. That's the goofy thing about it. And, you know, from bad hops to timing to calls, I mean, you just got to play the game and compete against yourself. But as a coach, it's highly concerning.
Well, Chris, we appreciate the time. Mavericks down at Adams State tomorrow. Doubleheader that starts 11 o'clock at Alamosa, and then the weekend off, and then back home April 9th to take on Metro State. Chris, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today on short notice. I always appreciate the time we get together.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
All right, Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team. Another great weekend for the Mavericks. Said coming up this weekend, a weekend off after they play down in Alamosa tomorrow. All right, 9:30, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Appreciate you joining us today. Give us the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's see, what else do we have? Let's see.
Big Rob's got a nice text.
Yeah, this is a good one. I appreciate your take on this, and I'll end my tirade with this. Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, Jerry Jones. No, no, and no. Not one of these is the quarterback that we need.
Which is funny.
Which is really funny. Let's see. Robert, my gosh, team, have a little faith. Locke can't park Jackson's car. Right now he can't.
The team, even give him the keys. Absolutely.
Well, we will rue the day. That sounds like something a supervillain would say. You will rue the day.
I thought this was like a
I like
sauce
that, Robert.
For...
like a rue, like yeah. Like for gumbo.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was like a sauce for a soup or something.
Locke's ears are burning. I doubt that his ears are burning. I really doubt that. He's heard this plenty from all the sports shows over in Denver.
We're not the only ones watching. Everyone knows he's not very good.
he has moments, and that's the thing that's frustrating about him. He has moments where you think, okay, and I think that was a
but they're fleeting.
But Joel made the point about eighth best quarterback in terms of completion percentage with play action. That's something they have to build upon. Once again, it gets back to doing the things that he does best.
But I don't trust Pat Shurmur to adjust his play calling to what the guy that he's calling the plays for can do better. I trust Pat Shurmur to, these are my peg, these are my round pegs, let's throw them in the square hole that is Drew Lock, or vice, however you want to phrase it.
Okay, and Robert also, we talked to Tom Hudson, mm-hmm. I brought up, what about the Sweet 16 being at one site? Because there seems to be some sense there in terms of cutting down on travel. These are the 16 best teams left in the tournament. You cut down the travel. If you're a fan, you could go there and actually watch a lot of games. It'd have to be a place that has multiple arenas where mm-hmm. you could do it. But I think it makes a lot of sense. And Tom was just like, yeah, he agreed with the point that I was trying to make.
Right.
So Tom's wrong, and I'm apparently completely wrong too, about the tournament in one state. The tournament allows everyone to profit. Now we're talking about Sweet 16 and on.
Yeah.
We're talking about one additional round because the Elite Eight, Final Four, no, Elite Eight, sorry, is there
right.
regional locations, Final Four. So we're talking about cutting out two rounds that would be someplace else. I guess that's a valid point about other cities not being able to benefit, but it allows everyone to profit. It allows those cities to profit that are hosting regionals.
But why doesn't New Orleans sue when Houston gets the Final Four? Because he says if I were these people, mayor, governor, or an attorney general, he would sue the NCAA if they tried it. Well, why doesn't New Orleans sue every year they don't win the rights to the Final Four?
Exactly.
Why doesn't, you know, Arizona sue every year they don't? Because you just don't. Your lawsuit's just going to get bounced. Oh, you didn't win the right to host a basketball tournament? Out.
But because we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
That it makes some sense. It does for the Sweet 16 to all be at one site because it levels the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has to travel a bunch. Everybody's in the same city.
Same area, yep.
Same area. And I think it would make for better basketball. I really do. And I don't want to take any way, you know, sites from other cities, but what's better for the tournament? Other cities, more travel, or one site for the Sweet 16 all the way to the championship game where the travel is reduced? Well, there's no travel other than going to the arena or arenas in that city. You still could do, and I still like the first four at one site.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, you can have a couple of rounds that are in other cities. Like Denver would have hosted a site this year. Would have hosted, don't remember which.
It was, I can't remember which region, yeah. But yeah, they would have been a host.
And from that standpoint, I understand what Robert's trying to say.
But you don't get it every year.
Yeah, you don't get
2019,
it.
2019, here were your regionals. Hartford, or your pods. Hartford, Columbus, Columbia, Jacksonville, Tulsa, Des Moines, Salt Lake City, San Jose. Well, Los Angeles should sue because they weren't part of it.
Because they didn't get to host one.
Or Denver. Well, Denver gets it another time. These are set out late in advance, and they rotate. Just, it's...
And so, yeah, if I were a mayor or governor or an AG...
I would not even waste my time with filing a lawsuit.
Good luck with that.
We didn't get it. Darn. We'll try again next year.
Andy has a text. I'm just going to leave that one alone.
Thumbs up, heart emoji, Andy.
One of the greatest members of the pile ever.
Yes.
Heart emoji for Andy.
Hashtag, thank you, Zansky. Heart emoji.
All right. 9:35. I'm
now Facebook friends with both Zansky brothers now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel honored.
Both Mick and Andy, yeah. Right? Well, good, good.
I mean, one more than the other, obviously. No, I'm just kidding. Just, totally. That was a cheap shot, and I bought.
Come on, Mick doesn't even live here anymore. Come on.
No.
Mick's listening this morning. He'll call you out.
I wasn't talking.
Right.
That was the other way.
Oh, you're talking about the other way. Oh, I thought you were.
Yeah. Noted great Fruit of Monument High School teacher, Mick Zansky.
Oh, and then there's
I've never had in class.
And then there's Andy.
Noted
Former colleague.
Very decent coworker, Andy Zansky.
With his umpire shirt. Andy's never going to let that down.
Apparently, he did not separate on laundry day, like we were asking for Tom Hudson.
He was expecting his wife, expecting Susan to do the laundry. Like, whoa, what's this? I guess I'm going to have to wear this shirt.
Where are my clean shirt?
Go clean your shirt yourself, mister.
Yeah.
There's the detergent. There's the washing machine. Go for it. All right, this day in sports history. 1929, the Boston Bruins win the Stanley Cup with a 2-1 win over the Rangers, sweeping the best of three series. 1940, Joe Louis makes short work of Johnny Paycheck, not to be confused with country music legend Johnny Paycheck. Was it Dear Jesus, Drop Kick Me Through the Goalposts of Life, I believe is the song. Can you find that song? I'm requesting you find that song.
Oh, I'm going to try.
You've got to find it. Different Johnny Paycheck. But anyway, Joe Louis knocked him out in the second round to retain the world heavyweight title.
Is that the Colorado Kool-Aid song?
I don't think there's one he did. I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm the only Hail Mama ever raised.
Yeah. I thought he did the Drop Me Through the Goalposts song.
Well, he might have, but we have five Johnny Paycheck songs in the system right now.
Well, you might have to go, because that may not be one that gets played on Moose Legends. You might have to go to the old internet
to find that one.
1941, Wisconsin wins the NCAA Men's Hoops Tournament, defeating Washington State 39-34. 1960, Bill Russell sets an NBA Finals record by grabbing 40 rebounds. But the Celtics still lose to the St. Louis Hawks, 113-103. 1962, he just recently passed away. Elgin Baylor and Jerry West become the first teammates to each score 40 or more points in a playoff game as Baylor puts up 45. West scores 41 despite the milestone. The Lakers, just like what happened to Bill Russell, they lose to the Pistons 118-117. 82, Michael Jordan. This was the day that he hit the jumper with 16 seconds left to give North Carolina the 63-62 win over Georgetown to capture the NCAA title. 1984, in the middle of the night, the Colts pack up their facility in Baltimore and move to Indianapolis. 1990, Hakeem Olajuwon becomes the third player in NBA history to record a quadruple-double, 18 points, 16 rebounds, 11 blocks, and 10 assists in a 120-94 win over the Bucks. 1994, Jimmy Johnson resigns as coach of the Cowboys, led them to two Super Bowls. 2017, Russell Westbrook sets the NBA record for most points scored as part of a triple-double. He puts up 57 points along with 13 rebounds and 11 assists. OKC beats Orlando 114-106. You have any luck with that?
I'm working on it.
You're
trying to find a suitable version here.
Okay.
I don't know.
It is Johnny Paycheck, right?
Yeah, you got that part right.
Okay, good.
Not sure. We may run out of time before we have a chance to play this.
Well, I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
And that'll give you a little more time. Because I think the pile, if they've never heard this song, they need to hear this song. I really do.
Okay, that was Bobby Bear.
Was it Bobby Bear? Okay, yes. I'm sorry, not Johnny Paycheck. Well, now
we don't have to play it.
No, I still think we need to hear Kick Me Through the Goalposts of Life. I do. I think we still need to hear that one.
I'm working on it.
I'm sorry, yeah, you're Bobby Bear. Pardon me.
What kind of music do you play here? Both kind.
Country.
Country and Western.
And apologies to Bobby Bear. Yes, this is Bobby Bear, not Johnny Paycheck. Okay.
Fellas, play the theme to Rawhide.
That was great. They're good old boys.
They're the good old boys. Straight out of Nashville.
Oh. And they got the chicken wire up and they're throwing the beer bottles
the beer
at
bottles.
It. All right, 9:40.
Was that Glenn Campbell? Right? Was that Glenn Campbell who was the actual band leader?
No, that was, oh gosh. The guy that was the leader of the Good Old Boys?
Yeah, wasn't that Glenn Campbell?
I want to say it was like Charles Napier, I think. He was an actor that was character actor guy. He usually played like a general or was in, I think, some Star Trek episodes as well.
I'm looking.
Yeah, it was not Glenn Campbell.
Charles Napier.
Charles Napier,
kind of
yeah.
Looked like
Glenn Campbell. It's like, I can remember that, but I can't remember. Right. Who did? Who did?
I was much more willing to look that up than I was the Dropkick.
Look, but don't you feel better today hearing that song?
No.
And don't you want to be dropkicked to the goalposts of life?
I don't want to be dropkicked anywhere.
End over end. Okay.
I don't want to be dropkicked. I want to be punted. Nothing. Don't put me on a tee hit me with a golf club. None of this.
Rugby style kick?
Yeah.
None of it. No. Kick through is what's the point in Canadian football?
A rouge?
A rouge. I believe it's a rouge, yes.
Not to be confused with a roux, which is a baseball
right.
soup.
Which we will roux the day.
Yes.
According
we'll
to
make
Robert,
our own soup.
We will roux the day. We'll make our own gumbo. Drew Lock gumbo.
Charles Napier married twice.
Okay.
Passed away in 2011. Sad.
But yeah, he was the leader of the good old boys in that movie. And then he had, was it Charlie Gibson? I think was the leader of like the neo-Nazi, the Nazi guys.
Yes.
I think, and he was on, Henry Gibson. Henry Gibson was on Laugh-In. I think he was the leader of the Nazis in the Blues Brothers film.
Good cast. And Carrie Fisher was in that.
Carrie Fisher,
Twiggy.
Yeah.
She was in that.
Carrie Fisher was great because the scene with her and Belushi.
Yeah.
In the sewer.
It wasn't my fault.
The car wouldn't start. Right. And he just drops her in the crap and she starts shooting at him. All right, 9:43.
Cab Calloway, Ray Charles.
Oh, Cab Calloway was great. Hidey, 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 ho.
Minnie the Moocher.
It was a great movie.
I'll have to probably watch that this afternoon now.
But not like the one with Jim Belushi.
Blues Brothers 2000.
No,
sorry,
no, no.
Jim.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Jim
nice,
Belushi.
Nice
no
guy.
One.
Sorry, Jim.
He started a trend in sitcoms, which I appreciate. Chubby, odd-looking dude gets, the hot girl.
Married to a woman he has no business being married
to. Absolutely.
Something I totally get, totally relate.
Yeah, a little Stockholm syndrome there going
exactly.
on, I'm sure.
And just started a series of guys that had been married to women mm-hmm. in sitcoms that there's no way.
No.
There's no way she was ever going to go out with you.
I already don't buy the premise of this show.
I already have a problem with this. You could have aliens on here masquerading as the neighbors, and I'd buy that more readily than I'd buy her being married to you, dude.
I'd buy Coneheads more than...
Exactly. Oh, I could bring you brought her right back around to...
Yeah. Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, very good. All right, 9:44. And we'll stop the rambling now. We'll take a break.
For a few minutes.
We'll come back with some garbage time, and the rambling will continue. That's coming up next.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:47. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Thank you, Dom, for sending us the thing about Bobby Bear. Jesus. Drop kick me, Jesus. But apparently that Johnny Paycheck, once upon a time, fellow country music legend to Bobby Bear. Tongue in cheek, by the way, on that.
Air quote.
Spent some time back in the 40s as a prize fighter. And yes, I got them mixed up. Let's see. The Illinois Nazis.
Yeah.
That was the name of the group from the Blues Brothers film. Let's see. Right on. Glad you enjoyed it. Have a great day from Big Rob. Thank
for
you, Rob.
For his text about the Joneses.
From Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, and Jerry Jones. Don't want any of them as the quarterback. In
Not a one.
Not a single one. All right, tomorrow on the program, we'll have Wyatt Thompson get his thoughts about the Elite Eight games tonight and the ones coming up tomorrow, most notably your number one overall seed, trying to continue their pursuit of history, trying to be the first team since Indiana in 1976 to go undefeated. We'll talk with Wyatt Thompson tomorrow about Gonzaga, their matchup with USC. Don't forget tonight, Elite Eight coverage starts at 5 o'clock tonight. It's Oregon State against Houston. So Oregon State shocking a lot of people, making it to the Elite Eight as the Pac-12 has had a very, very good NCAA basketball tournament. All right. Also tomorrow, Mav Day as well. And I want to thank Chris Hanks and Tom Hudson from Gonzaga coming on the program today. Let's dive into the dumpster.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay. We're expecting to hear tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, about the upcoming NFL schedule, which will be a 17-week NFL schedule. One bye week. That's it. 17 games. Expect to get the announcement. There are those that like this. There are those that don't like this, mostly players who don't like adding an additional game. Count Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints among them, who tweeted out, bleep dumb, poo dumb, we'll go that way.
Yeah.
Poo dumb as hell, though that's not what he put on there.
No.
Not a fan of it.
Eh, I don't know which way he voted on the last CBA, but the CBA passed, and this was part of it.
Because Alvin, your fellow union members approved this idea.
More of them than what than on your side of the ledger. So, yeah, I get it. I understand he's not happy. You know, I don't think it's going to be great for the players. Because from what I understand, they're not getting an extra check, right? Their game checks or their salary will be... They're getting an extra check, but not any more money. Their salaries
right.
will be divided 17 instead of 16. So their checks will be smaller because they're not going to get any extra money.
That's correct, yes.
That's, you know. But, again, they all voted on this. They all had a chance. Not every player voted because I remember that. It was some of the vote totals were well below how many members of the union they are. And here you go. This is what you're stuck with.
And so part of this, too, by the way, is that it looks like the NFL is going to try to implement a schedule rotation for international games.
Mm-hmm.
That every team will have to play at least one international game every 8 years.
And okay.
Okay, that's fair. Once again, I'm still not a big fan of the whole international game thing. But that's if you're going to do it, that's fair.
But as long as you're not relegating England to have to watch the Jags four times a year, I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
It. If you're trying to export the game, and
is that that's not the best way to get the Brits excited about watching American tackle football?
Yeah, yeah. Former Knicks or current Knicks assistant, well now former Knicks assistant, and two-time NBA head coach Mike Woodson is heading off to Indiana. Do you think he's really going to have any success there, or is this just going to be more of the same for the Hoos?
It's more of the same. That's just the feeling I get. Does that, I mean, if you're an Indiana fan, does that do anything? Does Mike Woodson do anything for you?
Well, I guess he's an Indiana guy. He's from Indianapolis, sure.
But where's this, you know, phenomenal track record of success in the NBA and also with coaching college basketball.
If you're Mike Woodson, where's more of your hesitation? Taking the Indiana job with their boosters and fan base, or Thad Matta is going to be an associate AD at Indiana now. Thad Matta, who had as much success in college as Mike Woodson did in the NBA. Which, I mean, Mike Woodson took the Hawks, who were awful, to the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Right.
That's not nothing.
That's okay.
You know, Thad Matta kind of regurgitated Ohio State,
but it's not like Mike Woodson took them to the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals every year.
Which is, I would be more hesitant that the coach in waiting is already there.
Yeah, that guy, the Thad Mott is there. Yeah.
It's like
just
this
hanging
isn't,
out.
No, yeah.
Hey Mike, if you'd like some advice, you got some, like take some tips. I've got some for
He's
you.
He's here to help. Help what exactly?
As he grabs his Thad Mott, grabs the whiteboard away from Mike Woodson, and
yeah.
All right, here's what we're gonna do on the inbound, boys.
Here, I like this play better. I don't know. I feel bad for Mike Woodson. He's already in a bad spot.
And then this is kind of a cool tweet from Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals. I count each year that I have found out that I have made the Cardinals roster a tremendous blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to represent this great city and organization. Pretty cool. I get to play catch with this old fella. It's a picture of him and Yadi Molina hugging each other. I think that's cool. It's nice when guys appreciate, I mean, things that, you know, I think at some level pro athletes take for granted, making, you know, particularly baseball players making a, you know, opening day 25-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to hear a guy like Adam Wainwright, who's been around a long time, still take a moment to go, huh, I made another opening day roster. Man, I'm so lucky that I get to do the job that I do. I think that's cool that he's appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Not as much fun. We've all been there when we all have animals, right?
Right.
When you hear that, in the middle of the night, that's never good.
Never good.
Field Yates was on NFL Live Friday. His dog, Cisco, off screen while he was on screen. And you don't really hear it, but you see his face. And then Adam Schefter does. Sources are telling me. It's a really funny tweet. But you could tell something was wrong in the Field Yates living room there because his eyes got huge.
Anyone worried about his dog probably dying number two?
Yeah.
What is he going to spit up all over the carpet?
Right.
Do we have a winner today, by the way?
We do not yet.
Okay, well, you can figure that out, and you'll let the winner know.
Yes.
Tomorrow's program, Wyatt Thompson at 7:40, and then we'll have Mav Day tomorrow as well on the program. So thanks for joining us today. Jim Rome coming up next.